Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Welcome to The Ancient World, a podcast about Greek myth and philosophy, symbolic reading of the biblical stories, and the renewal and rebirth of the Florentine Renaissance. And in this episode, we're going to play for you 7 short clips from the conversation, the great conversation we had this week with Greg from Exiting the Cave, Dr. Dan Scheffler from a university in Kentucky, and also Sean, who has the Mythos and Logos channel. So it's a bit like sound clips. It's not, it's a selection of the highlights and just as inspiration for thoughts. So hope you enjoy some of this, and here we go.
Ask Dan, what do you think of Newman's concept of ascent?
Yeah, I like Newman a lot. Yeah, and I think that especially if you're talking about merely notional ascent versus real ascent, you know, I think it's one thing to be able to just kind of like believe something abstractly, but I think it's another thing to really subordinate your whole mindset to that tradition and actually be moved by it and moved to action and moved to effective response and all the rest. So it's actually life shaping.
It was an interest. I've just started dabbling in that. I forget the title of the book, but where he outlines his theory of ascent. And it's an interesting.
Is it a grammar of ascent? Is that the.
That's what it was, yeah. Grammar of ascent, yeah. Where he's outlining this sort of theory, and I'm coming at it from the standpoint of sort of secular philosophy of trying to see how this could be a kind of unifying force in epistemology between, you know, the rational deductive brain and the experiential inductive brain, and maybe there's some kind of abductive layer of ascent that you can lay over this that can mingle the two somehow and for it to somehow function as a justification for knowledge.
Yeah, I think that's a promising direction. We've been talking about sort of this like left right notion from McGilchrist, and maybe something like Newman's conception of ascent and real ascent is a way to kind of bring those two together in a healthy way. I think we were talking earlier about you don't want to fall into the just like left brain bad trap, you know, like all logic is bad.
I spent
all
a long time
categories
in that
are
hole.
Bad, you know. It's like, well, that if you go that route, you just end up crazy. You believe anything.
Yeah, and sort of the common response amongst most of the secular philosophers that I've read is to just descend into a kind of miasma of, well, then knowledge is just not possible at all. right? But to me, that's just, I mean, it's absurd to say that, right? Because you, first of all, you're an academic, right? You committed yourself to the idea that you can transmit knowledge to people, right? But it's at that point that you start the rational person has to say, well, maybe there's something more to this that I'm not seeing, right? You know, like, maybe the religious have a point, right? And that sort of gets the ball rolling on, well, if they were, what would it look like, right? And that's kind of where I got started and kind of refamiliarized myself with Jung and Campbell and those guys. Yeah. My reasoning there is the linchpin there was one of the videos I was watching from Robert Barron, where he's going over the lives of the saints, and every single one of them, there's a section in the video where he's like telling you about how this saint lost his faith, you know, and how he struggled with his own belief and how he had to find a way back to it and all these sorts of things. I was thinking, these guys are saints. If they have trouble believing, you know, who am I to say that my lack of belief is enough to eschew the church entirely? So that's, I mean, I started out as I was raised Catholic, so that's kind of why I went back to the Catholic Church. But it was sort of at that point that...
And at some point, you have to act. You have to live your life, you know? So even in the absence of, you know, 100% certainty or, you know, absolute what counts as knowledge in some sort of thick sense, you still have to get up in the morning and you still have to live your life. And you still have to go figure out what you got to do. And so it makes sense to base your actions on your best working theory of today, and that's okay. You know, that's just part of the human situation.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise you end up apoplectic, right?
Yeah, completely. Yeah, you'd never get up out of the bed.
But what I was thinking is, if you look at it, it seems like it started early on as just I don't remember who was it. You know, Dan, the first ones was it?
I think the earliest is Evagrius Ponticus.
Okay, so he had a couple, and then it grew, and then the current one, I think, in the 1700s, were two monks who created like this, I don't know how many volumes it is, but you also have an abridged version with the 200 pages I found, which is just like a little selection of all the Orthodox church fathers, which is kind of a little guide into the whole landscape of them. Yeah, it's a really nice one, the one I tried, Philokalia. But there's also, in companion with that, there's a book in Russian called The Way of the Pilgrim that is about a person who's just walking around with the Bible and some bread and... yeah, lives like on the road as a pilgrim, which apparently was common in Russia, like often. But he says the Lord's Prayer all the time. So that's
the Jesus Prayer.
The Jesus Prayer. Sorry. Yes. So I thought I was going to read that one just for. It was just interesting. As
yes, it's a great book.
Yeah. Is it? Yeah. Which is like those short introductions. I can just give you some like. Somewhere to hold on to. But also for you, Greg, when you talked about intelligence a bit earlier, little follow-up on that. I haven't thought about this before, but like, do you see that as it's a big topic coming, but like, do you then see intelligence as something abstract beyond the human brain? So like in the sense that our brain's evolution, like our brain is growing into capturing more of intelligence that already exists there as abstract force or like an existence. Was that what you were thinking about, Greg, or like is that in?
No, I guess where I was going with that is sort of not so much as an abstract force, but
me think of those cherubims as well, like this, the second level of the spiritual beings as being streams of knowledge in itself, second only to love as a force.
I guess to put it in simple terms, I'm thinking sort of in terms of natures, right? The universe has as part of its nature intelligibility, yeah. Right? And and in some sense, the human mind captures that, right? We are an expression of the intelligibility of the universe, right? We couldn't exist as intelligent creatures if the universe didn't, in some sense, have it wasn't imbued with it in some way, right? Now, it doesn't have to be the same way that it's captured in the human mind, but whatever it is that gives rise to human intelligence is in the universe itself somehow, right? And to me, the simplest explanation of that is that I don't want to use the word a being, but some.
There has to be a ground of intelligibility.
Yeah. That's one way to say exactly. Yeah. There's something underlying the universe that imbued it with its intelligence. If even if it didn't create it, it still is what is. Populating the universe with its capacity to produce intelligent beings. And to me, the simplest answer to that must be, well, in some sense, this thing must itself be an intelligent being, right? Because the alternative is just, a blank slate full of particles, and somehow, magically, intelligence just appears.
Yeah.
Right. Intelligent consciousness just appears. And I don't know how.
And not just intelligence, but as you were saying, intelligibility, right? The very structures, even in non-intelligent being throughout the universe, even non-intelligent being is still structured in a way that is intelligible, right? So you actually have two problems that are insoluble on a reductionistic account. One is, where does that structure, even just basic atoms, come from, right? Or the law of gravity, right? Has an intelligible structure. Where does that structure come from, right? And the second problem is then, okay, from non-intelligent being, how do you get intelligences such as ours that are capable of grasping those structures, right? And on both counts, you have there's no answer unless there's an ultimate ground of intelligibility, which makes sense to say is something divine, right? You know, even if it doesn't map onto, you know, kind of your conception of God that you learned in Sunday school or whatever, it's certainly the most divine thing there would be.
And starting from that conception, at least in an adult sense, is at least a starting point, right? You have to have a starting point. And if I have to re-assimilate the concept of God into my thinking, the Christian God, that's fine, because that's at least a starting point. And it might be right. Who knows, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of where I'm at right now. And even if I never sort of get an ultimate answer, at least having that foothold is a place to continue the exploration, as it were.
Are you familiar with like a Bayesian epistemology approach to those kinds of questions?
A bit. I've done a little bit of.
Have you ever looked at like Richard Swinburne or anything like that?
Yeah, I've done a little bit of reading on it, but I'm not.
I think that's sort
of
the direction that. And that's kind of the direction that your comments are leading, right? Which is this idea that, look, I might not be able to know in a rich sense that there is a God or anything like that, but I can still assess the prior probabilities of the various hypotheses given the basis of evidence that I have, right? And so I can still think that some of these hypotheses are more probable than other hypotheses because they're in, so it's a classic inference to the best explanation, right? That I don't know that best explanation is true, but it's more plausible than the other alternatives, and so it's reasonable or warranted to go ahead and believe it and act on it anyway. I mean, that's how most science works anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
I just wonder, like, so what you're saying there, Greg, it makes me think that I'm still stuck on this
anyway. I mean, that's how most science works anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
I just wonder, like, so what you're saying there, Greg, it makes me think that I'm still stuck on this seed thinking. What's in the seed, like universe starts, like what's in, or I like to think the creative way. Let's say you want to start a universe. What do you have to put into the seed for it to grow into something like we have today? What has to be like, in the sense, just like a seed for a plant, like you got to put something in there, some moral laws, some physical laws, some potentials for this and that. And then kind of, yep, that's what they talk about in Genesis 1. You create the blueprints, you create the potentials, the structures, and then it starts, comes into being. I think like it's, part of that would be in the Jewish thinking of those who wrote it, or like where they get the stories from. But you can see it from a secular philosophical view, that that's one way of thinking about the beginning. So that's one part of this, that also then it, something about intelligence in itself is put into the seed as a potential that grows with time, of course. And then if you see time as growing in itself, it grows and you measure it in time, but it comes out of it naturally like a blob. That's one part.
That's also a very Aristotelian way to think about it as well. Yeah.
Okay. What
I was just going to mention that. Yeah. Well, in Aristotle, you can't get actuality from potentiality, right? So for there to be the actuality of intelligibility, yes, or intelligence, right, there has to be a prior actuality that serves as the ground. So you can't get in sort of an information systems sense, right? You can't generate information from a higher entropy state, right? You can't get that intelligibility emergently from nothing, right? There has to be at least the conditions for those structures to arise, and the conditions themselves have to be more structured than the structure that arises from the conditions of structure.
Mm-hmm. But I think so. If you look at when the universe is like a golf ball, a little melon, you know it's going to turn into humans one day. It's going to, like, the potential for humans is there. Like, it's
a possibility. Right, but the potential for humans to be there can't be what actually causes the actuality of humans. There has to be a prior actuality of the structures that at least make possible that evolutionary process. This is Thomas Nagel's argument in Mind and Cosmos as well, which you mentioned earlier.
Yeah. Mind and Cosmos was one of the books that I was...
Really? Okay, yeah. But another thing, like, just to put that, when you talk about intelligence in the universe, that I'm also thinking about sometimes, is that, well, when you got the filaments, like, we didn't know this 20 years ago, like, the galaxies are kind of just like synapses. It's identical. Kind of the pattern, or like the structure of it, is like synapses. But, and then if you look at, well, our solar system, like, okay, and let's say we spread next 50,000 years, we spread solar system, maybe to some other stars, then intelligence starts glowing and blinking in one little bit of one of those filaments, and it starts spreading. And then at some point it becomes like, is it just an abstraction then to say that the universe comes alive and becomes intelligent, or is it actually being that, like, when?
Well, there's two relevant distinctions that I think are easily made, right? And are classical, Plato, Aristotle, everybody makes them, right? The one distinction is between material and immaterial, right? So there are some things that exist that are made of stuff, right? And there are other things that exist, like you mentioned, numbers and circles, right? That are not made of stuff. They're not made of atoms, right? Fine. Okay, great. That is a great distinction to make, but we have no reason to think that the real things that are not made of stuff are any less real. The second, which has to do with the epistemological, you know, distinction that you just made, is sensible and nonsensible, right? And to recognize that one of our modes of access to reality and to knowing that something is real is our, you know, sight primarily, but then secondarily hearing, and then touch and taste and smell and the rest. Okay. So those realities are sensible, but we also have other modes of access to knowing that things are real, such as reason, right? Just direct noetic access, right? We deduce things. There's lots of things that even would count as material that are not sensible, right? Like electrons. You can't actually see or smell or taste electrons, but somehow we think we know that they're there through some sort of, it's actually an inductive process of reasoning, right? But something like, we also have internal psychological awareness, right? Just direct first person analysis of my own internal states, and then we can inductively infer that other beings such as I have similar states. So in other words, we have other, just because something's not sensible doesn't mean that we don't have a way of knowing about it, right? We have other ways of knowing about reality, and we have other pieces of evidence that there are non-sensible, non-material, real things.
So this was some of the highlights from this great conversation we had this week. And we're going to put a little bit more information in this description field and also with some of the book links. And just want to say, as always, thank you so much for listening and see you again soon here on the Ancient World podcast.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.